I miss Ben. Ben's on. He's gone today, and he usually carries all the front end. So I'm, you know. Isn't it cool to see Brandon and Cassie, these young people?
I am so pumped.
Yeah,
so
amazing. Yeah,
absolutely.
Glenn and I sat early this morning at 7 o'clock when they start rehearsing. Glenn and I were standing in the back, and we were sitting there crying, looking where she's crying. I'm looking where I'm crying. We're babies. We're getting old, aren't we? I'm getting old.
You're getting old.
Yeah, thank you. I realize that. And yet at the same time, we have some other students out here who are young. Some of you students need to say, hey, we're going to step up. Some of you play instruments. Some of you need to say, I need to take that challenge and step up
absolutely.
In that process and say, here we are, Jamie, Anthony, wherever you are. Some of you guys need to step up and say, here's
that comfort zone. Ditch the comfort zone.
Get out of it, stretch a little bit. you know, it is, we come to family dedication. And in just a minute, in just a moment, I'm going to ask the families to come up here. In the first service, we did this. And the issue of family dedication is really that. It's not infant or baby dedication. And some of you come from a tradition where there's great spiritual significance placed upon the infant or child dedication. And yet the reality of God's word is that the issue of all of that is in this process, the purpose of this is really not of any way protectionary of the child.
Right.
The protectionary of the child, the issue of the spiritual covering for the child, is not what we do here today, except in the sense that we are encouraging you as family members, as parents, as grandparents, to have that environment, to create the environment of faith where they may come to know God personally.
And extended to all of the body.
Absolutely. For all
everybody.
Of us to see that, generation to generation,
yes.
and to see that. This started out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, where you really see this issue of dedication. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands." We're going to come back to hands even a little bit from now. "And bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." The issue here is he was saying, listen, it is so important, especially back then, the oral tradition of being able to sit and to talk. And he's saying, in fact, if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, 2, you'll find out he's talking about, I'm telling you, so you will tell your children will tell their children, and pass it on from generation
right.
to generation within that process. And I think that's important, and I think it's also something that we've lost in this whole process
yes.
of actually sitting and talking. Do you do that? I mean, your dad was a great, I mean...
My dad did that, and I remember that from my grandparents and from growing up, and we had family involved in ministry all across, uncles and aunts. And that was great. And we did sit down and share about it, and we talked about it. But that was in a day and age when we weren't so taken up with televisions
yeah.
and with computers and all the handheld things that are interrupting conversations. It really did spend more quality time sharing our faith and who we were and what we were about.
Yes. I was thinking this week as I prepared even for this process, the life-telling stories have been lost. I was thinking of Ed
yeah.
Suchman, who passed away this year, a person who was... I did a funeral this week. In fact, the family was in the first service. At 99 years old, and the stories that they would tell, the life stories, and the struggles that they've had, the sacrifices that they've made, the issue of the lessons learned and their faithfulness to God. And unfortunately now, as you said, the changes are being now, we tell our little ones to turn on your iPad or the iPhone or turn on the TV instead of listening and talking and hearing of the foundation and the heritage of faith that has been taking place. But as parents and grandparents, we have an obligation and an opportunity to create the environment of faith. Psalms 145, verses 1 to 7. "I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." Now, I think there was a theme in there. Didn't you see that? That God is great, that I should extol his name and praise him every day, every day, every day. And then he says, "One generation will commend your works to another." So in the daily day basis of me praising God and thinking, here's what God is doing, my kids are picking that up. "They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness." The issue is we are to create the environment of faith. I'm going to ask the families that are here if they'll come on up here. There's a number of them. So those families that we've talked to that are going to have their family dedication, come on up. Yeah, come on up here, Christy. Woo, Jesse. Come on up. Where's your other? Oh, there's the other half. He's back there playing the bass. Come on, go on up here.
You guys.
Yeah, yeah.
We got
I'm
more,
not holding
yeah.
that one.
Come
too
on.
Little. Too little. Head will fall off. Yeah. Come on up here. Hi, Tobias. Oh, man, did I just get a scowl. Yeah, let's see. Okay, come on up here, Jesse. These are the three M's right here. Not
sit,
grandma, but
sit
the three
over here,
M's.
Maybe.
Come on up here. Come on. Yeah. Why don't you, yeah,
get
you go. You sit up there. Stand up there. Go sit by, stand by Jesse. Watch your step there, Jesse.
Lots of stairs.
The issue of isn't it great to see these families and young families as we have? And in the first service we had them as well. The challenge today, as I've already said, is really not for the little ones. You guys all know that. We've talked about that. The challenge is upon you as parents and as a grandma to set the environment. I love the fact, I mean, even Paul and Timothy says, I first heard of the Lord through his
grandmother
Eunice,
yes.
And Lois.
Yes.
I mean, that's the impact of a grandparent that can yes. have. Many of you have grandparents. Many of you are out there today as grandparents, and you need to see the impact that you can have within that process. You need to create the environment of faith where Jesus has lived in your home, where Jesus is the priority of your life, and that way that can be passed on to these little ones. And the commitment really is for you guys in that process. And then the church, we come alongside. We help with that. People today who are in the nursery, working in Stars and all that, are going to aid you in creating the environment of faith for your little ones.
So you don't have to feel alone in that process.
Absolutely.
Feel supported.
And sometimes that is easy to be done. Now, way over here, we have Jesse. I'm going to start with Jesse. Jesse is our grandmother. And these are the three M's, okay? We have, and I always tease them because it's Marissa and Melissa, and then I call her Rufus. But it's Mariah. It's Mariah. And they have wonderful smiles, and they wanted to be. You wanted today to really be dedicated, didn't you? You wanted that family. In fact, we actually tried to say, let's wait a little bit, and they said, no. No, we want to do it today.
There you go.
And so we're glad, because you're old enough to understand that this day really is about your grandmother and about you guys coming to the point of saying, I want to know Jesus, huh? That's really where it comes to. And so that's exciting to see. You see yourself on the screen up there? You can look at the screen. It's okay. You want to wave? You can wave. Yeah, look at that. It's amazing how that happens. Yeah. This is Tobias. You couldn't see. Come on, come step forward here. So that way, step. Come on up here, Emily. You don't have to walk three steps behind. Come on. There you go. Emily. Hi.
Hi. Oh,
what happens if I do this?
Even.
Oh, hi. Oh. Sorry. Plug it quick. Yeah, that's good. Hi. Hi, Tobias. Oh, did you see that? I put in my hand and he takes the hand back. Hi, Tobias. Tobias, yeah. Okay, I know. It's a good thing that I don't have to create the environment of faith with you this morning, just with your mom and dad. Uh-oh, you're going to cry. Step back. Step away from the child. That's it. It's great to watch little ones grow. Tobias, Gustavo, and Emily, as you guys have started out as a young family, the desire to follow the Lord and trust Him to create that environment. And I think that's so important within that. You have family here. You have your family here today. You have your family who goes to this church. But you have a church family that's huge as well. And to create that environment. And as you start having kids and as you start continuing the process to create the environment of faith is so important. All right. And then, of course, we have another one with a plug. You guys step on forward here. Kurt and Alicia. Yeah.
I wouldn't pull that plug if I were you.
No, I thought maybe you would.
Uh-uh.
I thought maybe you could do it this time. So this is, how old's Jackson now? 4 months. Little Joseph here. How old's Joseph? 4 and 4. There you go. You should be able to work that out. These are bundles of blessings, aren't they? Absolute bundles of blessings. You want to speak? You want to do the, no, there you go. To see the process by which God provides for families. Even you. And it's great to see that. You guys have been a blessing to our church, and you're a blessing of faithfulness and a blessing to see. And I know it's your heart to create that desire of an environment of faith. And as God blesses and brings little ones your way, it's just an amazing process. I don't know if you can see. I couldn't take that thing out of his mouth if I want. He's got that thing. He's got his fist around that. That what happens? Josh, can you zoom here? Because I'm going to take this out just to see a little bit. Ready? There you go. Oh, yeah, we got to see a face there. Yeah, because for the... For the recorder, we got to see that. Now, okay, here we go.
I know, it's just a form of child abuse.
Yeah, that's why we have nurseries, and that's why I have grandkids. I can send them home. Praise the Lord. Thank you, guys. All right, now we get into the little ones, and I'm not holding. As you notice, I'm not holding them anyway, because at certain ages, I feel like their heads are going to roll off. No, that's not going to happen. Come on up here. This is Jesse. Where, Mark in the nursery? All right. And hi, sweet pea. Hi, yeah, look at these little feet. Look at that, yeah. It's been a blessing watching you guys grow. It's been a blessing to see how God's taken you, just serving in our church and expanding you and stretching you guys.
Awesome.
And it's been awesome. To see.
Mike has an awesome heart. He is a worshiper and a servant.
Yeah, worship and a servant. And he'll do whatever, even if he doesn't want to, like play the bass.
He's awesome.
Yeah, he will do that. And I just appreciate that. I appreciate the struggles that you have been faithful through the struggles that even childbearing caused. And that is a great testament. That's the basis for the foundation of faith that you're going to create in that environment.
And Christy, you've been awesome to share Mike.
Yeah, because you let him...
The load's heavy.
Anytime.
The load's heavy at home. I know your load is heavy at home, and I know it's a sacrifice for you to let him come and serve. And God sees that and appreciates that very much.
And that's part of the faithfulness of the family. And so it's on... Yeah, you yawned. Yeah, I can't put you to sleep yet. You're not old enough, okay? Yeah, Jeff, you're supposed to say amen or something like that. All right, thank you guys. And then I think this is the youngest. I do believe this is... come on up here. Watch your steps on the cords here. Make sure. This is Eric and Desiree. And this is Audrey Olivia, right? Audrey Olivia, 2 days old.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, 2 days old. Now, we're recording this. I'm not touching her. So, you know, I love kids, but not like that. But can you turn her at all so we can get the face? Can you just roll her over? Look at that angel face. Yes, yes.
So did you know last week she was going to be here today?
Well, obviously we're hoping. For the last three, can I say this or not? For the last three, they're kind of shy, a little quiet, Eric. But no, they're not. But for the last 3 weeks, okay, I know I'm going to embarrass you, but Desiree's been coming in and she looked like she was like kids to the wind. I mean, like, you know, she turns sideways, she's blown over. And what's funny is that all of you women out there who know Desiree, I heard every woman coming, oh, it's going to come today. It's a girl, it's a boy. The belly button's pointing down. I heard everything. I'm thinking, okay, you know, but they all had it. But she came when she was ready, huh?
Yep.
Absolutely, pretty much. We appreciate you guys. Eric is instrumental, and you guys are in a life group and instrumental there, and Eric is so instrumental in our IT and getting all of our radio stuff and all that done. But what's even better, they have a Dawson's their son. How old's Dawson? 15 months? Yeah. And you're a busy mom, huh? Yeah, busy mom. But it's great to just see, again, all these couples serving and making what God has for you, and it's awesome within that process. And so... you know, little Audrey, you're going to have your hands full. It's sleepless nights, but that's okay. But we appreciate you guys and appreciate, and you really have the desire to create that environment of faith. Thank you guys. What we're going to do is I'm going to ask Glenna to comment as she wishes, and then she's going to pray for all of you moms and grandmoms, and I'm going to pray for all of you dads. That's how we're going to do it this morning. And so, Glenna.
It's just a privilege to share with you moms this morning and grandma and to pray for you, and my heart is full just knowing what you have in your hands, such a gift from God. And I want to encourage you with your incredibly high value that God has made the men the leaders over your home and the church over them, but God has given you influence with your kids. And it's huge. It's massive. I remember when we were raising our kids, there were three, and the first two, I had the privilege of leading them to the Lord. And when the third one came to me and was ready to pray, I said, no, you're going to Dad this time. You know, he needed to have that joy and that privilege too. And you'll have those days with your kids. Don't know which one it'll be, but moms, value the influence you have. Realize that you are going to mold and shape these kids in amazing ways by the grace of God as he leads you. And grandma, many people have said to me, I came to the Lord because of a godly grandmother. And sometimes their parents didn't know the Lord at all, but the grandma was the one. And so praise God for the influence you have on these girls.
Absolutely.
Let me just lift you all up in prayer. I'm excited for you this morning. Heavenly Father, we just bring all these ladies before you and the babes that they have in arms. Father, we just ask that each day as they deal with these children, that you would empower them with your wisdom and your grace. And Lord, as the day-to-day gets like it gets with kids and the confusion and the noise, we pray that you would quiet their hearts and give them patience and give them, rather than sharp replies, give them quiet, calm answers and guidance from your Holy Spirit, that they might infuse these children with the love of you and the desire to follow you all of their days. Father, just be with them, be gracious, hover over them, empower them, comfort them, give them your sense of peace, and just a real joy in the amazing job that you have given them to do. Let them know how highly you value them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we come this morning, I pray for every man on this stage and every man in this church. I pray that you will, in this process, as we come to dedicate families, that you will look at these men here, and that, God, these men will desire not just to raise good kids, but they will desire to raise godly kids, and that will be easy because they will desire to be godly men, and in the being godly men, they'll be easy to emulate that in their homes, that they will create the environment of faith as a godly dad, as a godly husband, that they will look and to see that their kids can see the godliness in their lives, and that will be mentored through them. In their lives today, these kids, both that are in their arms and are standing, God, we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what their future holds, but we know that you will never forget them, that you are with them, and you will watch over them. I pray you'll give strength to these families. Give them the desire. May they live in obedience to you. May they live in remembering you. May they know you. And may these kids grow up in a great, safe environment of that. Thank you for those in this service and last service who were adopted children, who have that adoptive process. It so emulates that which is in God's heart, in your heart, that we are adopted as children of God. So we're thankful for those providing for families in that process. May we see that as an honorable and a righteous family birth, Father. So thank you for this time that we can fellowship and we can celebrate the family and these families desired. I pray for Jesse. I pray for the grandparent influence of Jesse and those in this crowd, that we as grandparents will be willing to sit and talk and share from generation to generation, that we will tell the stories of the greatness of God, that we will share how God is, and draw them back from all this, the electronic age, when we draw them back to the Jesus age of how he worked in each one of our lives and hearts. So thank you for this moment. Thank you for this morning. May you bless these families. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen, Jackson! Yeah! Hey, where'd the plug go? That's what the problem was. All right, hey, give them all a hand, would you? And be careful of stepping down here. Watch your steps down. Watch your step down here, yeah. A little bit bigger step, first step down.
Awesome.
All right, thank you.
What a blessing to see these families gather. And, you know, God knows how challenging and difficult the job of parenting and grandparenting is. And yet he has enabled us and just given us all the tools that we need. And he's mighty in every area of our lives. He's a mighty fortress. So the rest of the band, you need to come on up here. We're going to celebrate. We're going to sing some more. And we're going to rejoice in what we have in the provision of our Lord.
God is the only righteous judge, only Savior, please take my hand. I work so hard, I live so fast, this life begins and then it ends, and I do the best that I can, but I don't know how long I'll last, and I try to be so fast, I'm just not strong.
Father, this morning as we come, what a great day. What a great day to see families who desire to set the environment of faith in their life, their homes. We come to this part of our service as well where it's all about you. It's not about us. So I pray you would just help us to understand the great love that you have for us, demonstrated for us. Thank you that we can be here today, and it's all because of you. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. There were two ordinances left of the church. One is what we celebrated last week in baptism, when we had the baptismal going and the waters were going. The other is what we celebrate today is communion. I think that the danger in church, of playing church, of playing religion, is that we take what God meant to have life and we suck the life right out of it. So like even today, the family dedication, it's meant to have life, to give life that says, okay, I want to create the environment of faith. It's not just this moment, it's but to walk out of here and create that in my home. The issue of baptism. Issue of baptism is that you are making an outward profession of what God has done in your life. That you know Christ as your Savior, you want people to know that, and it has to take life within that. And the element of communion is we're just going to celebrate in just a moment. It never was meant to just be something that's done ritually and dead. Never. It was meant to celebrate the Lord's death. We always approach communion in even now in a somber way. And yet I think the reality is the kingdom of God is a party. And the kingdom of God is saying, look what I've done for you. I just read out of Psalms 145 and all of that issues of look what God has done, how much he's done. I'm going to read in just a moment another passage of look what God has done. And so as we celebrate communion, there should be a spirit of rejoicing that takes place. There should be a spirit of celebration within all that. In 1 Corinthians, as we looked, it says that on the night that he's betrayed, he took bread and he took the wine, and he says, do this in remembrance of me. The sense of remembrance. What are we remembering? We just finished a study on Sunday mornings. You and life groups are still studying the book of Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet. And he prophesied of the coming Savior. This coming Savior who was going to come incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us, be born as a babe, born to live that he might die and that we might live. Remember him. He says we are to remember his death. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? To remember him. But he's not just talking about remember him on a Sunday morning at 10:30. He's not just talking about remember him when your life seems to, that's fine, but when your life seems to collapse around you. It's more than just remembering him then. It's to remember him who remembers you always. To remember him, you are never forgotten. You are never forgotten. God says he knows you. He knows your life. Isaiah 49:13. It says, shout for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains. For the Lord comforts his people, and he will have compassion on his afflicted ones. I only put that one verse in there, but previous to that, Isaiah, in Isaiah 49, he is talking about, man, God is great. Look at all the things he has done. The people had been in bondage. The people were in servants and slaves. And God is saying there's a coming day when, man, I remember all of you. You are not forgotten. And I am the Lord who created you. I'm the Lord who created the heavens and the earth. I'm the Lord who sustains you. I'm the Lord who gives you strength. All of Isaiah 49, he's just going on from verse 8 on, man, just, I am God, da, 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 da. And you would think that, wow, look at it. He says, I can shout for joy. That's what he's telling us to do today. Shout for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O the whole earth. Burst into song, O mountains, which we think is impossible for the songs to burst into mountains. The mountains to burst into song. But he said, no, go ahead and do it. For the Lord comforts his people, and he will have compassion on his afflicted one. And you're never forgotten. Now, you would think that the people then of Israel would say, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. We're going to rejoice, aren't you? The problem is, in the next verse, Isaiah 49:14, it says, but Zion, Israel, said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. After Isaiah just said, no, this is God. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forsaken you. And yet they took that and said, no, God's forgotten me. He doesn't know my plight. He doesn't know my family situation. He doesn't know my drug abuse. He doesn't know my addiction. He doesn't know how I'm struggling. He doesn't know the battle that we rage. He doesn't know me. He's forgotten me. Ah, but that's not the end of the story. Because Isaiah 49:15-16 says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Well, humanly, he says, though she may forget, humanly. Mothers, some mothers forget. God says, I will not forget you. I will not forget you. It's impossible for God to forget you. In fact, he says, see, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Your life is ever before him. He says, I know you. And it's impossible for God to forget us. We see God's never forgetting, always remembering love for us, even more powerfully in the palms, as he talks about there, the palms of his hands. Fast forward to Jerusalem, when those palms were outstretched with your name written on it, And on that cross, those palms were pierced for your sin and your transgression. In the palms of the hands of Jesus, they weren't just engraved for us, they were pierced for us. God, listen, God has not forgotten you. God will not forget you. He cannot forget you. He loves you. Never, never, never forgot. No matter where you fall in your life, no matter how we fail, which we will, what we celebrate today is my failure does not disqualify me from a forgotten God. And that should make you want to say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Because he's faithful even though I'm not. He never forgets us. The issue of communion as we come today, you say, even in 1 Corinthians 11, as we come to communion, it says to examine yourself to see if you're worthy of taking communion. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Communion never was meant to be a ritual that you just do and have no meaning. But we examine ourselves. But some of you come from a history of faith where the examining says, if I've done anything wrong, I can't take communion. If I've done this, I can't. If I have to confess, I know. Listen, there's only one way that makes us worthy to take communion today. And that is if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. If there's been a time in your life when you realize that you were a sinner in need of a Savior, and that God sent his Son to die for you, and you said, God, Lord, come into my heart and save me. And Corinthians says, when you pray that prayer, with that heart of knowing that you need a Savior, God says, man, old things are gone. I'm going to make you a new creation. I'm going to give you life and life more abundantly. And a whole life turns around. And God changes us. And that's what makes you worthy today to take this communion. It's not what you do. It's what he did. It's what he's done for us. And that's what makes you worthy. So this morning, in just a moment, the men are going to come. And this morning, as those elements are passed, I'm going to ask you to hold them until we can all partake together. But this morning, I want you to remember, just like we told the families to remember, share from generation to generation, remember. I want you to remember this morning, I want you to remember that you were never forgotten, that your sin, my sin, our debt was met by his payment for that. And he makes us and declares us righteous. We are never forgotten. We are never forsaken. Gentlemen, if you will come, as they come, again, they will pass the elements. As they pass the elements, if you'll just hold those, and while they pass, and then afterwards, we'll come back together, and we'll share them together. In the process of them passing, would you remember what God has done for you and in you, and would you celebrate that today as the elements are passed? Gentlemen.
mighty infinite Father, faithfully loving your own. Here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we pray. You are the one we adore. You give us healing and blessing.
Wow, thank you, Cassie. Beautiful. Draws our hearts to all that we hunger for should be Him. 1 Corinthians 11 says, the night He betrayed, He took the bread, was broken for you and me, and He gave thanks. And He says, this is my body, which is broken for you. Not to be something that we just do out of ritual, but realize that He gave Himself. No man took His life. He gave it for you and for I. Let's partake together, shall we? It says on the same night, that He took the cup. The cup represents the new covenant of the blood of Christ that He shed for you and I that would give life. And it's through the blood of the Lord Jesus that we find life today and find meaning. Never was communion meant to be just about a stale piece of unleavened bread. It was only symbolic. Never was it to be just about a cup of grape juice. It was to be about the life that it represented in us and in Him. And today we celebrate that life. So it says on that night that He took the cup. He says, this is my body. This is my blood that was shed for you. And do this in remembrance of me. Shall we partake together? This morning as we come, it's easy for me to be thankful. And Glenn and I, as we sat in the back early this morning, tears streaming down our face to see what God has done. Do you remember today what God has done? To remember to look back, to share what God has done. Some of you who started this church a number of years ago, you can't help but your heart just be beaten out of your head today, out of your chest when you realize what God has done as you look around. For those of you who serve, today we need to remember those. We need to remember, and I look around, there's people serving right now in this service. We need to be thankful for them. We need to remember those who are struggling. Some of you are here, you're struggling. Some of you are striving, and some of you are saying, wow. Some of your lives need a touch from the Lord to really radically be changed. He can do that. He's never going to forget you. He'll never forsake you. He will meet the need that you have. And today we need to remember those things. But we also need to remember as we go out from here, we need to remember not just this moment, but we need to remember the world. We need to remember the lost. We need to remember that there's people outside of these walls right now who need to know the Lord Jesus. We need to divide and conquer. We need to replicate this process. We need to see this go on and on and on and on of people coming to know Christ whose lives can be changed. If you're here this morning and you say, I need to know that Lord, I need to know that God, we'd love to talk to you. Come see me. Come see one of our men, perhaps somebody who brought you. We'd love to share with you about the life of the Lord Jesus to remember. But listen, you're never forgotten today. You are never going to be forgotten. And you may feel like, man, God doesn't care about me. He cares. You may feel like you can't see His hand moving in your life, but He is, and you can trust His heart. And you can always know this, that He will always, always be enough. Always be enough. We may not find it in the world, but we can find it in Him. He will always be enough. And when you're parched and dry, when you have no place else to turn to, unfortunately, we often get to that place. But He is the true well where we can gain life and life more abundantly. Father, this morning, I am thankful that communion was never meant to be something that is just a dead ritual. It is to be life. It is to give us life. It's to remind us once again of the price that was paid for our salvation. It's to remind us again of the cost that was paid, that Your blood covers us, that it's not about my righteousness. I bring nothing to that table, but it's about Your righteousness covering me. It's a free gift, and I'll just trust in You. God, I pray today, if there's someone here who doesn't know You as their Savior, that they will trust in the Lord Jesus right at this moment. And Father, for those of us here, for people here in the course of our lives, when we struggle and when we look for Your hand and we look to know where You're at, God, may we always trust and know that we are never, never, never forgotten, and that You will always, always, always be enough. Always. Father, we praise You today. For it's in Your Son's name we pray.